clients who come to me for the book coaching and editing that I do on the side is to help them to be able to give access into the characters in that way so that the reader can experience the story up close and personal.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And just as a side note to our listeners and anyone who is going to read this book, you will want a really nice, hot, good meal after you finish the story. I'm just going to say that's what
You're
I was
gonna be
craving,
hungry.
Craving through most of the end of the story. I was like, I just really want to eat right now. And this was when I got to a question for you. You have a number of series. Can you see yourself revisiting this world and story?
I love this world and I love these characters, and I think that you never know, right? So I didn't know with the Nullig Stones that I was going to have a sequel. I just realized one day that it needed or wanted a sequel. And it's mostly driven by readers, and they come to me and they're like, well, are you going to write another book in that series? Can we go back there? If you want the world that badly, and I enjoyed the world that much, there's always the opportunity to go back there. And so with Lost and Found, and with any of the books, I've always tend to leave a few threads open. In my books, not cliffhangers. I hate cliffhangers. I hate that. But I like to leave a few threads open for a couple of reasons. One of the things that I teach is that if you wrap up at the end of a book too tightly, you don't allow it to live on in the reader's brain. So the characters, in order for the characters to exist outside the book and to continue to live inside the reader's brain, it's always nice to leave just a few threads open. The opportunity for us to dream, where will they go next? What will they do next? What's going to happen next? And the nice thing about that is that it also leaves open the door to revisit and go find out what I think happened next and what I think is going on with those characters next. So I'm not ruling out the possibility of going back to this world. I think it's a great world. It was a lot of fun. I loved writing Gage and Wind, and especially Gage. And Clax, of course, but especially Gage, because I just really think that voice is so much everything in a book, and I really feel like I hit voice in this book so hard and so well. And it just makes me happy to know that I did that. And yeah, I have not ruled out going back, but I don't know yet what that story might be.
Okay, because I definitely have a thread I would love to see explored personally. Like, I really want to find out what happened to Wynn's dad. Mm. I'm like, are they going to go looking for him? I don't know, but I can pester you. I know where you are.
So true.
So, one last thing, if we'd like to touch upon, Lawson's is not the most recent you've published, and did you want to share some info for our listeners and possible readers about Blood from a Rose?
Yeah, so Blood from a Rose is very different for me. It's funny, So Blood from a Rose is a collection of short stories, flash fiction, and poetry, but it's all very dark. It's light horror. It ranges all the way to dark fantasy. There is some humor in it. I'm told that the cost of admission is worth it alone for the two demon stories, because I have Kel and his roommate as demons living as roommates in hell, but I've then turned them into more or less the demon odd couple. And I have had a lot of fun with those stories. I've got a lot of people asking me if I'm going to write a full book for them. And it's on my to-do list to write more in that realm and with those characters. But it's very different for me, because you read Lost and Found, and yes, it's got that setting that's dark and dreary and stinky and everything that works with the book. But my novels tend to be more books that go in a lighter direction. I like a happy ending or a potentially happy ending in my books. And Blood from a Rose is all the dark stuff that I think I have to kind of cleanse out of my brain in order to write the other books, especially the books for kids. And so when I write short, it tends to go dark very quickly. And I'm not sure why that is, but it does. And I just kind of go with it because I think if you put your editorial hat on too soon, you lose so much of the richness that you can actually put into your writing. And so Blood from a Rose took years to put together because it was these moments where, oh, I can't write on this novel right now, so I'm going to go write this some short thing, and I'll take this bouquet of roses, this lovely bouquet of roses, and write a short flash fiction piece, and all of a sudden we're in a cemetery and people are raising the dead, and it's, you know, things like that. And I'm just like, okay, I'll go with that. You know, it's okay. Why not? And so over the years, I had all these pieces, and it was almost enough for a book. And I thought, well, you know, what else can I do? What else can I write? So I wrote a second Cal story. So there are two of those in there. And I wrote a couple of dark fantasy things in there. There's my reimagining of a unicorn story that I love, and a few other things that were added in to the mix in order to create a book-length collection that will take you on a journey from sundown through midnight and into the light again. And so Blood from a Rose was a lot of fun to put together. I really like it, and I hope people are enjoying it.
So. Love it. Thank you so much for coming in today and sitting and talking about Lost and Found, your other books. I really did, while we were talking, thought about one of the characters I really actually did love in that book was Knobs.
Oh, I love Knobs. Because
he's just like, he's like your go-to bestie. He's not going to let you down if he can help it. I really loved his loyalty to his friends was super sweet. So Lost Inns is published by Brookcave Media, is available anywhere and everywhere good books are sold. Indie Author Podcast is available web-wide at your favorite podcast service as well as on YouTube or online at the Shameless Brook Promotion website. And one more thing, Sharon, before we leave, I have some fun questions for you that we're going to be asking all of our authors. What is your favorite beverage for when you're writing?
I'm typically drinking tea or water when I write. That's because I live in the desert. I'm a big hydrator, so I'm mostly drinking tea and water all day long. So that's typically what I'm drinking.
Do you have a favorite tea?
I drink sort of an Herbalife combo tea with some other things mixed in, including aloe.
Love.
So,
yeah. Where do you like to write when you're writing? Do you have a favorite, like, is it like a chair, coffee shop? Where's your favorite place to get your writing done?
So I'm an introvert, don't want to do it in a coffee shop, don't want to go out in public and do it. People will just distract me too. I'm too easily distracted. It's not their fault. It's my fault. I get all hyper paying attention at what's going on around me. So it makes it very difficult for me to zone in. And I like to, when I'm writing, I need to zone in. So when the other thing too is that I spend a lot of time at my desktop. I'm working at my desktop a lot for other clients and for other work that I do, for my blogs and my newsletters and things like that. So my best and most favorite place to write is to grab my laptop, not have any social media or distractions or email or anything open on the laptop, and to either go sit in the living room in my little comfy spot on the couch, put my feet up, or lately it's been, okay, I need to get in at least some writing tonight. I'm going to get ready for bed. I'm going to go sit in bed and write on the laptop before I do my reading at night. Because I read every night on an actual physical book to get my eyes off of screens. That's really important to me. So I do that for at least an hour every night. So I've added on ahead of that some time for me to write, because I need to get this next book out. I had a lot of people at the book festival asking for the sequel to Collars and Curses, and I've been promising it for a year, so I need to get it done. And it's only 50% done, so I got to get a move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's better than 10%, though.
Oh, yeah.
And so you mentioned distractions with writing. What's your atmosphere when you're writing? Do you like absolute quiet? Do you have some ambient quiet sounds playing? Is there regular music? Is there a movie on in the background? What's going on?
when I'm writing fiction, I need to really focus in, as I said. I need as few distractions as possible. And so most of the time, it's quiet. It's just silence. Now, that said, if there's a particular scene that I'm trying to write or an atmosphere that I want to evoke, I will put on specific music for that. And I'll just put it on a loop and let it play. Point, in fact, when I was writing Mirabella and the Fated Phantom, when I was writing the ghost scenes, there was a particular song that's mentioned in that book that I would put on repeat. Whenever I was writing the ghost scenes, I would put this song, this 1940s song, on repeat and let it play so that I could get the atmosphere and the mood of the ghost, because I really wanted to pull that character inside me. And again, I'm always trying to give you the world and the story through character lens. And I think it's really important sometimes to have cues that will help you do that. And that's what helped me to do that with that particular story.
Cool. So we got kind of a combo going on there. I like that. So thank you once again, Sharon, for being on the podcast. Any authors that are interested for consideration for future episodes can find more information on our website, shamelessbookpromotion.com. Thank you again for listening, and we'll bring you another indie author to meet soon.
Thanks for having me.